welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and get started in a passage of scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul is, you know, the Corinthian church was kind of the two things that really went hand in hand, I guess you could say, with the Corinthian church is they were kind of the intellectual elite and they had a lot of sexual problems. Those are probably the two defining characteristics that you'd see about the Corinthian church that he's addressing. And, you know, the believers, he's wanting to let them know they've been born again, they've been saved, and the Apostle Paul needs to encourage them a little bit. He needs to kind of help them understand maybe kind of what's happened on the inside of them and to kind of help them find their bearings. And so he gives us some very powerful instruction here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:6, he says, however, he says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul is giving some guidance to the Corinthian believers to let them know that they have received something. In verse 12, you've received something. You have not received the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is what you had, okay? But you received something. You received the Spirit who is from God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so he's kind of encouraging these Corinthians who live in this culture, you know, where, you know, it said that, man, they would just, you know, if you kind of read the first couple chapters of Corinthians here, it's just kind of this intellectual elite and kind of heady stuff and, you know, intellectual intimidation that would be going on here back in Corinth. And he's trying to encourage these new believers, these new converts that, you know what, there are two kinds of wisdom. And when you got born again, you got saved, you got a new spirit who's from God. And not only that, but the things that are spoken, it's not spoken with man's wisdom, but it's spoken with a spiritual wisdom, a spiritual discernment. And the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. So, you know, as believers, it's amazing. You might not realize it. But a lot of what you know and what you understand, your ability to see through the spirit of the world is not because you are so smart and wise and discerning and of yourself. You have that ability that was given to you by God. You got the Spirit of God in you. You got eyes. You could see through things. You could discern things. It's like, whoa, yeah, that's the Spirit of God in you. And he says, when you're talking to natural men who don't have that sense in them, it's going to sound like you're, you know, foolish. It's weird. It's off. You know, like, you know, but he's saying, no. You've got the right spirit. You didn't get the spirit of the world. You got the spirit who is from God. There are some things you're going to see and you're going to know and you're going to understand by the Spirit of God. And the world is not going to get you. They're not going to understand you. The natural man is completely, well, what he says, the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't know because they're spiritually discerned. See, a natural man is naturally oriented around the world that he lives. What he can see, touch, taste, feel. And he's also being oriented by the God of this world, the spirit of this world. He doesn't realize it. I like to say this. The world doesn't know they're the world. You don't know. You just have a good guy getting through life, love, you know, just doing my best I can. It takes the Spirit of God to show you your sinful condition and your need for Jesus. That's the first revelation. Anybody who's a believer right now, the first revelation you ever got was, well, I need Jesus. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Ah. Once you get that revelation and the Spirit of God gets in you, you get to see a whole lot more. That's the first revelation of many. But if you don't get that first one, your orientation is completely natural. But the person who gets that one, man, you got a brand new orientation now. I'm just seeing things from a spiritual standpoint. My world has opened up. It goes beyond what I can see with my natural eyes. I don't lose my ability to reason. I'm still reasoning. You know, he says the in verse 13, you know, we still reason, but we're reasoning with wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. I can reason. I've got logic. It's amazing how I can figure things out in a spiritual sense, but I'm handling different things. I'm handling spiritual stuff. You know, you experience the peace and the grace of God in the forgiveness of sins, and you know what that's like. He loves you. He's for you, and you can be off in your prayer closet sometime, and you're just praying and seeking God, and all of a sudden, you get something from God. It's like a word, and it's that same peace that you had before when you experienced the forgiveness of sins. It's like, yeah, this is right. This is God. I know His voice. I'm comparing things on the inside, and I've got this whole new world of the Spirit and the Word of God that begins to open up to me. And so we see, though, and the Apostle Paul addresses that there is this kind of paradigm. You got a natural man with a natural orientation, but you are now a spiritual man with a whole brand new spiritual orientation. And this morning, I just want to talk about a believer's orientation. Our orientation, the word orientation, by the way, is not, it's not good or bad. It's not just or unjust. It is a word that describes something about you when you talk about your orientation. You say, my orientation is this. We're about to find something about what drives you, what guides you. That word orientation is a very, very telling word. When you declare your orientation, you are showing your hand. You're showing, this is what makes me tick. This is what makes me work. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, you got a brand new orientation. You used to be a natural man. But when you got born again, something happened. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, natural orientation. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now you got this brand new spiritual orientation. And it's going to guide your whole life. It's no longer up to you to sit around, take inventory, and say what you think is right, what you think. You're born again. You got a believer's orientation. We're going to see what Jesus said about us as believers and what is going to orientate, what is going to guide our life. One of the great things that we find out early on as believers in terms of our believer's orientation is that we become word-oriented. When I say word-oriented, I'm talking about the Bible, the Word of God. We become oriented around the Word of God. Now I'm not just sitting around deciding what I think is right, what I think is wrong, and according to my calculations and my philosophical element and what's happened to my... That's all out the door now. I got a new orientation. Now I'm going to go into the Word and find out what's right and wrong. That's what you do as a believer. Is that what Jesus said? Yes. Remember when Satan came to him, trying to tempt him. He said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's powerful. Every word that proceeds out of it. Not selected words, but by every word. You're orientated that way when you follow Jesus. And the Spirit of God who is on the inside of you wrote this word. So that spiritual oriented, that spiritual life that comes into you, he bears witness that, yeah, this is true. Right now, my whole life has changed. It's no longer, again, for me to sit in a corner and figure out what's right and wrong. It's for me to get in the Word of God and find out what's right and wrong. Praise God. That's a freeing thing. You know, it's a heavy burden to take upon yourself. The job of discovering and of your own strength and ability what is truly right and truly wrong. You couldn't live long enough. But God, by His Spirit, has shown us what is right and what is wrong through His Word. A believer's orientation. You find out right on, hey, I am word-oriented. I'm going to find out. I got to get in this book and find out what's right and wrong. Paul, writing to Timothy, Pastor Timothy, he put it this way. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow, that's quite a credential for the Bible. Every good work, thoroughly equipped. What Ed House thinks in and of myself is it could be interesting, but it's not profitable for doctrine. It has no authority. What the Word of God says is profitable. There's authority in it. There is authority in the written Word. It's incredible when you think back to Jesus' confrontation with the devil. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. No, Jesus lifted up the Bible and said, it is written. Wow. Talk about a great credential. One of the great things that Jesus did, apart from dying on the cross for our sins, obviously, he validated the Word of God. He validated the authority of the written Word of God. Think about that. He was quoting stuff that had been written 1,500 years before he came on the scene. He validated the concept of a Bible, that perfect God could communicate to imperfect man his perfect word and keep it through the ages to where man could stand up and say, it is written. Jesus did it. Hey, if he did it with the old covenant, how much more in this new and better covenant that Jesus ratified with his blood can we believe that he has also again communicated to imperfect man his perfect word, retained it through the ages so we could live not by bread alone but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is the way a believer begins to think. It has nothing to do with trying to make so-and-so happy or a religious right or responsible, kind of being religious, but it's like, wow, this is what believers do. I guess they live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I guess this Bible really does have authority and the ability for doctrine, reproof, correction. I can be corrected by this word. Praise God. The word has that ability. So I'm beginning to find some stuff out. Psalm 119, the psalmist said, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. So my whole attitude toward the Bible is different. It's not like, oh, good old Bible. That's a good book. There's some good things. I'll be the first one to say there's some good stuff in there. I like the Bible. It's not that anymore. It has authority. I am orientated around the Word. It's guiding my life. It has authority. This is something that happens in a believer's life. They get word-oriented. It defines what I believe is right and wrong. Oh, you think this is right and you think this is wrong because you have a bent toward this. No, it's just I found it in the Word. The Bible has shown me what's right and wrong. I'm not smart enough on my own to decide what's right and wrong. I submit myself to what the Word of God says is right and wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a glorious thing. That's a freeing thing to not have that obligation on me. I'm not trying to politically posture and please men. I'm just going into the Word of God, living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because my Savior, the one who died on the cross for my sins, said that's the way man should live, by every word. And all of a sudden, there's a connection between Jesus and what he did for me and the Word of God. I don't compartmentalize my Jesus, my loving Jesus, on one side, and I got this kind of this black, dark, critical book on another side. No. No. The same one who died for my sins lifted up that very book and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And when the Spirit gets in you, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Praise God. What else does the Bible have to say? Your whole world gets, your orientation is word-oriented. I'm looking, I'm seeing, I'm discovering. It belongs to me. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what can cause me to look into a Bible and begin to see what it says and begin to accept it and live by it? That is the essence of faith. That is faith right there. Not only did I make a decision, I'm saved by grace through faith when I called upon the name of the Lord, but it didn't stop there. I'm going to live by faith. The fact that Jesus died and rose again, man, that's the very first step of faith I took. But boy, it's the first step of a life of faith. Hebrews writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So now I'm going to have my orientation of this new believer's life is a life based on the Word of God, and it's a revolving around faith. Here's a powerful, let me just give you a powerful example of how this works in real life. We'll get it from the vague to the very, really specific. Here's one of the things that this Bible says about me. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, if he's in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Praise God. Now, I might not feel brand new. I might not feel fresh in myself, in my emotions, in my body, in my strength. But the Bible says in my inner person, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Now, as remember Paul writing to those Corinthians, he says, God gave you his Spirit so that you could know what has been freely given to you. This is one of the things that has been happened to you. Jesus said, you've got to be born again. Why? So you can have a born-again religion? No. You got to be born again so that when you are born again, you can become a brand new person in Christ Jesus. You know, you can hear this truth. I remember hearing this truth. I remember having a whole tape series on this truth and going, wow, that's really cool. Oh, that's really neat. Oh, that's awesome. That's really neat. Awesome, cool. That makes me feel so good about myself. The emotional inspiration of it will bless you for about 5 minutes. The truth of it will make you free when you begin to see yourself as a new creation. It gets hard to intimidate somebody who knows they're a new creation. It's hard to condemn somebody who knows who they are in Christ. Truth will make you free. Jesus said, Father, separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. And all of a sudden, this book becomes a truth book. Hallelujah. And you begin to see things in the Word of God. And it holds you. And the reason why it's so exciting isn't because of the emotional inspiration of how it sounds. It's because it's true. And when you believe it's true, it'll reorientate the way you see yourself. wait, no. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yes, I've got a body, the scripture says, that's fighting against my mind. Yes, I've got, you know, the law of sin and death, that passions in a fallen body that is fighting for identification, saying, Ed, you're this way. This is the way you think. This is the way you are. But the Bible says, no, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've walked around in this body as a Christian for years, getting beat up by the impulses of my body, defining who I was. Yep, that's me. I just remember one day I'm just walking down, and all of a sudden, I saw it in my, just kind of getting an impulse. I'm sorry, God, that's just me. And the Spirit of God, I've been listening to these tapes for about 6 months, finally dawns on my spirit, finally. Sometimes you got to hear something for a while. You know, you hear it, but it was like it dawned on my spirit. It's like, wow, no, all of a sudden, no, Ed, that's not you. You are a new creation. And I could see like a picture, like a vision picture, a new creation. I could see my human spirit, the part that became brand new when I got born again. It's amazing how once you see who you are on the inside, you're not nearly as intimidated by your flesh anymore. Wait, this is who I am. This is what God did on the inside of me when I got born again. My orientation is changing. My orientation started to be around the Word. Once I got in the Word, I began to find out more specifically what's going on the inside of me. Man, I'm finding out stuff that has been freely given to me by the Spirit of God. Started with a respect for the Word of God, and from that respect of the authority of the Word, I got revelation of who I am in Christ Jesus. So there is an identity battle going on all of us as we begin to say, no, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. Again, this is not, I'm just going to really pump myself up and feel good about myself. No, it's true. It's true. We talked last week about mustard seed faith. You know one of the great things about mustard seed faith? It's so simple. It's so small. I was saying, you know, I've had both. I've had simple faith and I've had complicated faith. And Ed House complicated faith doesn't like Ed House simple faith. It's like Garfield and Odie, you know, where you got, we need a lot of time. We got to work through a lot of stuff. I'll tell you what, you can just simply believe the Bible's true. It's legal to do that. You don't have to work through a bunch of stuff. You can just believe that it's true because it's the Word. That's really simple. Mustard seed faith isn't just a matter of size, it's simplicity. Praise God. I love that. Getting the revelation of the simplicity of the Word of God. You don't need an IQ of 180 to work through issues in your life. You can just simply believe. And all of a sudden your world is different. I can just believe because the Word of God says. The Word of God says it's true. Praise God. And I'll tell you what I find is that the younger I've been in the Lord, the longer and the more complicated things. The more mature I get, the simpler I get. Less complicated. It's amazing. It's just the exact opposite of the way of this. It's a different orientation. In this world, you get more complicated. You get degrees. You get education. Man, I can think this thing through 40 different ways. The more spiritual you get, you only got one way to think it through. Oh, Jesus said, get out in the boat and walk on the water to come. Okay, here we go. You're making progress. Jesus said, forgive even as God as Christ has forgiven you. Okay, here we go. If you said I can do it, Lord, I'm going to do it. Even as simple. Praise God. Because he said in your word, I don't have to work through anything. Praise God. Remember Eve in the garden? Wow. Just don't eat the fruit? Hey, look at that. It's good for food. It's beautiful. How could that hurt you? It's going to make you wise. Why would a loving God prohibit you from something like that? It gets in your head, complicates things. Corrupted from the simplicity. A lot of what we're doing as believers is we're reorientating. It's like, wow, there's a lot of spiritual work I don't have to do anymore. It has nothing to do with spiritual maturity and growing up spiritually. It's learning to let go. The word is just really true. The reason why I'm set free from it, it's not because of how pretty it sounds. It's because it's true. And I can believe it's true. He that's in me really is greater than he that's in the world. And when I begin to think about the truth of it, wow, Lord, you're in me. I believe it. The truth will make you free. free. The truth, not the emotional inspiration, the truth of it. You begin to believe it's true. And you begin to walk by faith because you're beginning to believe. You're beginning to believe it's true. Man, your whole orientation is different as a believer. The word is true. What it says is true. Timothy said, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. Okay? He said, he's talking about a time will come. And what's going to happen? You're not going to endure sound doctrine. It's not going to be word-oriented doctrine, but according to their desires. So you're going to have two kinds of doctrine. You've got word-oriented doctrine, and you've got desire-oriented doctrine. Two kinds. That word desire literally means lusts, longing for the forbidden, if you want to Greek it out. That's what it means. Doctrine according to lust. And because they're having itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers to take away the simple truth and, you know, create a justifiable basis for things. Paul was prophesying that this is going to happen someday. Do you believe this will happen someday? Yeah. But what did he tell Timothy? He said, preach the word. When you're oriented as a believer, you can be oriented around the pull of your body, or you can be oriented around the word. And it takes the word to know the difference between the two. I don't care how long you've been serving God. You never graduate to where you can just stop reading the word and you're good, you got it figured out, you know. No. You always have to stay fresh in this word, because this word shows you what's right and what's wrong. It shows you. I mean, it's not just getting your right theology, because your heart can get off. You stay in this word of God and it's like, oh, praise God. Yes, Lord, that's your voice. That's what you sound like. I mean, it is an amazing thing. You see the disciples themselves. You know, they're walking with Jesus, hanging out. They're going to a village. All of a sudden, they get a little persecution. They want to call fire down on those folks. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. He didn't say you don't know what theology you're of. He said you don't know what spirit you're of. We stay right. We got to stay in the right spirit. And that kind of what leads me really to the next point is not only be our word, you're spirit-oriented. Jesus also went on to say, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. So not only are you reading and learning and understanding what God's word is, but you also, as you're getting a believer oriented, you get in a position of listening. You know the Holy Spirit on the inside is leading you. He's guiding you. He's showing. So you get in this posture of just checking out the thing. When I say listening, I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm talking about stuff that registers on your mind. God will speak to you by his Spirit that will register on your mind that didn't come from your natural reasoning. It came from the Spirit of God showing you, leading, guiding. And this is what Paul was talking about. That spiritual man, he gets into comparing spiritual with spiritual. All of a sudden, you're hearing things. You're picking things up and say, is that like what God said over here? Is that similar? You're checking things out on the inside. But your orientation now on the inside, it's like, yeah, okay, praise God. Lord, you're talking to me. I'm listening on the inside. You know, we talked about how the word, like, think of it like I always like the illustration of a pilot with an instrument panel. You know, they're looking at that horizon line. They get in the clouds. They don't naturally see what's up and down, but they see those instruments. And even if what is the instrument says is, I'm not sure if it's called orientation or but it could be something like that, but kind of the same concept where you're lining up with instrument panels, and it can, you know, you're in the clouds, but you're going, okay, I guess this is straight. You know, by faith, because that's what the instrument panel says, you know, and that's what keeps you safe. And it's the same way, again, with us, with that word. We're just kind of lining, okay, God, if you says this is wrong, then, Lord, I'm staying away from it. Everything in me is pulling one way, but I'm going by your word. I'm going with what your word says. I am orientated by the instrument panel of this word. I'm walking by faith, not by sight, all right? I'm trusting the instrument panel, not my feelings anymore. That's what I think they call it vertigo for a pilot. If they, all of a sudden you stop trusting your instrument panel and you start trusting your feelings, that's when it can be a problem. And so this word acts like that instrument panel. But not only that, but there is the spiritual side of it as well, too. So I kind of know what God wants me to do, you know, by the instrument panel. But also there's also a spiritual side where he is beginning to lead and guide me into all truth. I'm beginning to discern things, pick up things in my heart. As I do, praise God, I'm beginning to learn his voice. Jesus said, my sheep would know my voice. You'll get that sense of his spirit and his peace in your heart. And it's like, wow, I know that. That's familiar. Praise God. And this is when the personal relationship with Jesus gets personal. And it's good personal. Because he'll correct you, he'll show you, he'll guide you. And you know what? It is dialogue, it is fellowship with God. There's nothing in the world like it. But now I'm orientated again. I'm not the authority. I'm submitted to Lord Jesus. Isn't that interesting what he said? He said he'll take what, he will not speak of his own, in verse 13, talking about the Holy Spirit, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll tell you things to come. He'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, when the Spirit of God is speaking something to your heart, he is taking what Jesus, your Lord, has shown him, and he's revealing it to you. So when you're picking up what the Spirit of God, that's your Lord Jesus talking to you. Your good shepherd, leading and guiding you into all truth. Praise God. That's how he guides your life. And this is how we're listening on the inside. Romans says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Well, what is that? Spirit bears witness with our spirit? Well, your human spirit, that new creation who's on the inside of you, also have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And there is something, there's a what the Scripture simply calls a witness of the Spirit. Again, you talk to a natural man about the witness of the Spirit, foolishness, you're off, you're whacked out on religion. And according to those natural calculations, that would be the right conclusion because you don't have the Spirit in you to know and to discern it. But when you get born again, you get the Spirit in you, and all of a sudden, it's not just that I believe Jesus died, everything's opened up to me. My whole orientation is changed. And I see, wow, Abba, Father, Daddy, just as you're worshiping this morning, and your spirit is just leaping out and just sensing the presence of God, there's stuff going on. In you, you know, the Spirit of God could be ministering to you in a very intimate way. As we're corporately singing the same words, God can be very individually talking to your heart. How can that happen? You got the Holy Spirit in you. It's a whole new world, spirit-orientated. And he is speaking. And a lot of times, we might get into situations, it's like, oh, God, I'm praying, but does God hear me? Can God hear me? You know, you're praying, kind of wondering, man, I've been praying about this, but I'm not getting an answer. And a lot of times, we can kind of get into some things, and, you know, a big part of it is just drawing near to him. Drawing near to him is a big part of hearing and perceiving what his Spirit is saying. It's like the old story about the old man who is the old man who thought his wife had this hearing problem. So he sits over here on a couch. He says, okay, we're going to test your hearing today. He says, I want you to tell me when you can hear me. So he walks across the other side of the room, turns his back to her and says, can you hear me now? Nothing. A little bit closer. Can you hear me now? Still nothing. Right next to the couch. Can you hear me now? Finally hears. Honey, for the third time, I can hear you perfectly clear. A lot of times we think God has the hearing problem, and sometimes we need to draw near. I'm serious, I need an answer. Well, you know, we just need to just draw near. Draw near. It's amazing how much. Sometimes we think we want to hear, and sometimes we can actually be afraid of what we're going to hear, and we may not draw near like we really could, and not, you know, we can play games with ourselves when it comes to that. The Spirit is in you to lead and guide you into all truth. He's there, but you got to believe it's true. He's there. Lord, you're leading and guiding me. You hear me when I pray. You hear everything that's going on. You know the number of hairs on my head. You can, by faith, draw near. God, you're going to give me a peace. You're going to give me a witness of what I need to do. And as we do, you'll notice those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I like to say it like this. If I'm trying to get stuff, I'm trying to get answers from God, it's kind of like tuning into a station. I'm just going to begin to tune in. Tune into the Word. Tune into the Spirit. Draw near. You will pick things up in your spirit. You will get things. You know how it is? You might be listening to a station and you want them to play your favorite song. You might have to stay tuned in for a while, but eventually they'll play your song. And so many times when you're praying about things with God, just stay plugged in. Just abide in the vine. Just you're going to begin to get things. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul told the Colossians, set your mind on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. You're going to get things. You're going to get revelation and understanding. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other so that you can't do what you wish. Now we said in the first part, you got the Word to help define what's right and wrong as far as behavior, guidance, direction, promises. But the Spirit orientation is very powerful because it's good to know what's right and wrong, but the Spirit is what gives you the power to live what's right and wrong. It's great to have good theology, but I've had great theology and I'm still in bondage. It's the power of the Spirit that gives you the strength. Paul told the Romans, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. But here we see orientation language. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh. They're contrary. But he goes on to bullet point the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, lewdness, anger, wrath, malice, all those things. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness. And so Paul is saying, if you're oriented to the Spirit, you are going to put to death the deeds of the body. A believer's orientation is not just word-oriented, but it's Spirit-oriented. And there's a humility. I'll tell you what, if God has set you free from something, you know more than anybody it wasn't you. You know it's the Spirit of God that made you free from that law of sin and death. You know the Spirit of God has the ability to satisfy you in a way that that thing can't. Because let me tell you something about something of the sin. It's not just the natural substance of it. It's what you believe about it. The reason why flesh can have a hold on it, it's what you believe in that thing. You believe in its ability to satisfy you. You believe in its ability to give you relief. You believe in it. You believe in it. You believe in it. Well, it's just the natural. It's just substance. It's in the blood. There is a natural side. I understand that to addiction. But it's what you believe spiritually that will draw you to it. When you begin to get spiritually oriented, you begin to believe in the power of the blood to cleanse you. You begin to believe in the good works God has ordained you to walk in. You begin to believe that God loves you, that he is for you. Satan is fighting you. This is why it says, here's the inflection point. Natural mindedness, carnally mindedness, spiritual mindedness. There's a fight for belief. Forget for a second all the natural stuff about the sin. There is something that precedes that. You got to believe something spiritually about things. The reason why you turn away, you believe something about God. You get spiritually minded, and all of a sudden, things don't affect you anymore, or it could come back, and it's like, why doesn't it pull on you? One of the reasons, you don't believe in it anymore. It's not just a natural, you don't believe in it. You don't believe in its ability to satisfy you. You don't believe it. You believe now. You believe God. You believe the Word of God. You believe His love for you. You believe He can satisfy you. Yeah, you're going to go into an area where you have never been before, but you're trusting Him, and you believe it's good. You believe He's going to take care of things. Praise God, you believe. The battle of sin has a lot to do with belief, what you believe. And as you begin to walk in the Spirit, you begin to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Oh, and you begin to, with the scripture above that, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And as you begin to believe about God, you begin to believe and begin to set your mind, you get orientated around the things of God, you begin to find spiritual things falling off. A lot of times we discover this accidentally as new believers. You can have more freedom sometimes when you very first receive Christ because your faith hasn't been tested and attacked. It's brand new, and it's all new. And all you know is like, wow, it's just God in the morning, God at noon, God when the sun goes down, I'm listening, it's really exciting. It's like, wow, this is just amazing, and wow. Well, you know what you're doing? You're walking in the Spirit, and your flesh just has no voice in your life. You know, and then something happens, like, oh, where's God? Well, maybe, oh, oh. complicated faith begins to set in. Jesus said, return to your first love. Get back to simple faith again. Get back to that simple faith again. Again, a lot of reasons why that new believer, they haven't gone through any tests, really big tests yet. So it's kind of like, wow, it's all brand new. But I'll tell you what, it's the same faith. It's the same Lord. It's the same love. It's just getting a revelation that, yeah, praise God. It's still the same answer as it was when I first got saved. I can walk in the Spirit, just by faith, walk in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, spiritual things get real. Natural stuff, it begins to fall off. Praise God. So, spiritual things. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, that's spirit-oriented. The reason I can do it, he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. I got power in me to walk this out. This is a believer's orientation. This is the way a believer thinks. The Word of God is my guide. The Spirit of God is my strength. It gives me revelation, gives me insight into the Word of God. And then finally, you're love-oriented. This is a big one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So all of a sudden, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, we'll all know that you are my disciples, that if you have love for one another. Man, there is a love orientation that begins to happen also on the inside of believers. 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, all right? I can have, love, men of angels, but have not love, and become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. In other words, I got point one and two of this sermon right, okay? Good. You know what the word is. You know what the truth is. You're walking by faith in who you are. But it doesn't stop there with Christians. Man, we go on. There's another orientation. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, what are you talking about, Paul? Get to the point. Okay, I will. Love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So in the middle of this new believer orientation where you're discovering the word, praise God, I got the Spirit in me. There's also love that wraps it all up. And you're going to walk in an area of love and grace. You know, the Bible says the truth in love causes us to grow. And that, we don't naturally, it takes the Word of God to cause us to bring us back in line. We don't just naturally live like this. Not if you're in one of these bodies. It'll pull you. Takes the Word of God to know, to have the right orientation to know what love is. It takes the Word of God to see, okay, that's what love is. That's how love behaves. Praise God is not a respecter of persons. That's love. That's how I am supposed to live. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, there is a love, there's a grace, there's peace. Hallelujah, that you are just by faith walking in a graciousness and a love. And I'm telling you what, that love, when people see love in you, they already know hate. They already know anger. They already know, they've got, the world is fully educated in those things. But when they see this, and they see what you're going through, and they still see this, there is a light that shines from you that makes them wonder, what, how in the world? Something doesn't calculate. And all of a sudden, this what, you know, what Jesus said, that all men, that all, believers and unbelievers, will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This love is really, it's an amazing, mysterious thing. It's like and we realize too, even as we're growing, because even though we're walking in love, we're still growing up spiritually. I hear a story of a lady who came and kind of pounded the pulpit and said, preacher, problem with this world, this church, is you don't preach on sin enough. Preach on sin. And then things are going to be better. Things are going to straighten up. And the preacher said, okay, ma'am. Said, I want you to take an offering envelope from the back of that chair, and I want you to write down the three things that you struggle with the most. I'm going to preach a sermon next week on those three things. That's not typically what we think of when we... If you were to write that list, typically it's three things you don't struggle with that you're pounding the pulpit on. That's called selective moral outrage. I'll tell you what, as a believer, as somebody who has had the Spirit, had the Word, and still messed up, and He still forgave me. And I say this all the time, if there's anything I'm doing right, there's a trail of the mercy and grace that stayed with me till I overcame it in my life. And I've developed a lot of grace and compassion. It's like what Jesus said. He said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. That's the ultimate revelation of love, and you really see that. It's like, oh, Lord, there's such ignorance. There's such spiritual ignorance. Yes, what I say, what I believe, it's foolishness to the natural man. It should be if you don't have the Spirit of God. But you realize there's an empathy for their ignorance. And what does the Bible say? This is love. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the way you're going to find it in your love, is you're walking out Christ's love. While people are still sinners, you love them and you minister to them. You fish for their souls. You do what God shows you to reach out and to love, minister. But man, you get this love-oriented life. Let me just say this as kind of a conclusion. It's not always going to be this way. You're not going to be turning your cheek for the rest of your life. This is an opportunity to walk in love. Because there is coming a time when Jesus is coming back and there's a sword that's going to come out of His mouth. And it's going to be justice. There's a window of grace, and it's closing. Jesus said, it'd be like the days of Noah. Yeah, people could laugh and scoff while Noah's building that ark, but once the rains came, it was done. It's all over. And it's just really like, man, people need to know the Lord. People need the Lord. They need the Lord. Paul said, oh, I wish I could be accursed. I just want my brothers to know Him. Yeah, the turning cheek stuff is very temporary. You're going to come with Him. You're going to be with Him as He... I could be executing judgment on somebody I'm trying to... Yeah, you could. This is according to righteousness. It's not that, oh, He's loving now and now He's mean. No, it's all love. It's all righteous. But that mercy, there's a limited time to it. This is limited time only. So that's why today, if you hear His voice, receive Him. Man, if you hear Him calling, today is the day of salvation. It's not forever. We're not just going to do this for millennia. No, it's coming to an end. Oh, it's so important. You understand? He won't have to turn the other cheek anymore because the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and there's nobody who's going to be striking the one cheek in the first place. It's all going to be over. It says the way of the ungodly will pass away. Stuff that we debate about won't even exist. This is why the Lord needs us to be compassionate for people right now. I mean, justice is coming. That's inescapable. How will you escape? It's coming. But this is a time where he didn't send us into the world to condemn the world, but that we can have the sufferer share in the sufferings of Christ, reach out to people, love people, and you look past their spiritual ignorance. Father, they don't know what they're doing. Show me how to reach them. I believe in these last days the church is going to have a very powerful evangelistic thrust. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Man, you get the gospel into somebody, you change their orientation. It just happens. I mean, we all fight it. I mean, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And sometimes we're transformed quicker or slower. But if you get the Spirit of God in somebody, they're there. You know, it's going to be, that's the ultimate. You need fellowship. You need believers. You need to be in the Word. But I'll tell you what, we're going to see a church. We're going to see a church rise up. I believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. The good news that He loves you, He died for you, and that you can just call upon His name and be saved. Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning that we're born again. Yeah, we don't have the spirit of the world anymore. We were, by nature, children of wrath. But now we are, by nature, new creations in Christ Jesus. We are now, by nature, filled with the Spirit of God. We are now, by nature, filled with the love of God shed abroad in our heart. By nature, You've changed our nature. You've changed our orientation. You've changed the way we see things. We're so thankful that we see it, Lord. We're so thankful that we got your eyes this morning. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you I'm brand new. I got a new orientation. Your word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. I live by every word that you have given me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. He shows me things to come. I'm listening on the inside for your leading, Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're my Lord. Guide me. I thank you for the love of God. There's only one reason I know what I know. Because of the love you've bestowed upon me. Help me to shine that love. Give me grace to see past spiritual ignorance. They don't know it, but they need you. Help me to share you with them. Lord Jesus, today's my day. The day I call upon your name. I've heard the story for years. Today I believe it. You died on the cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen.